1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with the joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In this you greatly rejoice. The question that we have to ask is, what is it that we greatly rejoice in? And I believe what Peter is doing is referring back to that which we looked at last week, verses 3 through 5. God has brought us back into a relationship with himself through the blood of Jesus Christ. And his resurrection was proof that the payment was acceptable, that he was going to reserve a place in heaven for us. And we looked at that word last week. That word reserved meant that he was going to retain that place. He was going to make sure, he was going to guard that that reservation that was there for us was going to stay there. Matter of fact, we looked at Ephesians and it says that we are already seated in the heavenly places. So in God's eyes, we are already there. But in time, we are here. And God's going to reserve that place. Not only that, he says, it is the power of God that keeps us. And again, it's a term that says that we are kept, that we are guarded, our salvation is secure, that there is no one who can take us out of his hands. The devil can't take our salvation. God's not going to get tired of us at some point and cast us out. And we can't lose our own salvation because we know that that which we did not earn, we cannot unearn. I said last week, that I know that's not a word. If we did not earn our salvation, we cannot lose our salvation. Our salvation is secure. And it is in this that we greatly rejoice, that our focus is in the things that are to come and not in the things that are only. Peter is giving them words of encouragement in order to explain to them the purpose of their present condition. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Now, as I introduced this book a few weeks ago, I said that these are Christians who have been scattered, the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And these people were scattered for their faith. And Peter says, now for a little while. And this word, a little while, really means a duration. And in many different contexts, it can be a length of time, a long period of time. But in this context, it's just saying for a little while. It's a short duration. And in our eyes, that can be a long duration because it could be a matter of 30 years. But when we compare it to that of eternity, it's just a little while. Those trials and tribulations that come into our lives are just but a little while when we look at what is to come. An inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away. And I believe that this is why the translators translated this word duration as a little while. If need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Grieved means to become sorrowful, distressed, or extremely sad. We become downcast and our emotions get the best of us because there are so many things that come into our lives that distress us. I mentioned last week, these people might be facing some situations that we have no idea because Peter doesn't really mention what it is that they're facing. He just says there are various trials. And some of these trials may be the fact that they have lived with their families for so long and there was close communion and these real tight ties within the families. And they no longer have that because they believe now in Jesus Christ. And their parents said, sisters and brothers, we will have no part of you. These people are in a foreign land, strange to them, and they may not have jobs. If you do not have a job, you do not have an income. If you do not have an income, you have no food. They're strangers, therefore, they have no permanent residence. They don't have a house to dwell in. There are many things that these people are facing. Ultimately, they were facing death. Can we imagine the emotions that would be going along with the things that they are facing? Can you imagine that at any moment when you mention the name of Jesus Christ, you're brought before the courts and are facing death? Do I do it? Do I speak? Do I say the name of Jesus Christ? Because if I do, these things are going to happen. But if I don't do it, what does that say about my relationship with God? And there's this back and forth, emotions that are just at their peak. And that's what that word grieve means. You are grieved by various trials. There are all these things that are coming into your life, and you are just grieved, extremely sad. But what I really like is this word that's right in the middle of the verse. If need be. Remember that I said I posted on the Facebook that God will never protect you from the things that He will grow you through. And that nothing happens to us unless God produced it or approves it. What is God's goal with every believer? Isn't God's goal to conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ? Chapter 8 of Romans is dealing with the suffering of the saints, and in verse 18 it says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The things that we are going through now does not even come close to comparing to the glories that we will one day share with Jesus Christ in His Father's house. We are co-heirs with Christ. We will suffer for a little while, but for all of eternity, we're going to share in His glory. These little things that we think as so trivial or so detrimental and so big are going to be so small when we get there. I mentioned last week that a lot of times when we exercise and do things to get to a goal that we're trying to achieve, it can be painful. But when we achieve it, it is so rewarding. My boys are looking at exercising, and they love to do the weightlifting and things like that. And I said to them, isometrics is a great way of exercising. So I introduced them to Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker did 5,000 push-ups in a day, just to start his day, 1,500 sit-ups along with the push-ups. But Herschel Walker became a great football player. I'm sure there were times that Herschel Walker didn't want to get up and do his push-ups. I can't even imagine doing 100. But 5,000 push-ups. There had to have been days that he didn't want to, but the end result was well worth the 5,000 push-ups. The little trials that we face in this earth, these things that God is using to conform us to the image of His Son, when we get closer to that image, isn't it well worth it? And when we get to glory, it's not even going to compare to the things that we have suffered here. Or I should say that the things that we suffer here will not compare to the glory that is to come. Now listen to verse 28 of Romans. "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." What is His purpose? Look at verse 29 of Romans 8. "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son." That is the purpose. Why did He call you? So that you could become conformed to the image of His Son. So that He could have more sons and daughters just like Jesus. How is He conforming us to the image of His Son? One way that God is conforming us to the image of His Son is through the trials and tribulations that we face at any given moment. And this day that Peter was writing it, the ultimate was death. There are many people, many brothers and sisters, and we really need to make this a priority of our prayers anytime we come together and pray, is we need to pray for our brothers and sisters who are facing death all around the world. We are so sheltered from the things that are going on in other countries that we do not even think about these things. But we need to think about these things. These people were facing death. And it was this trial and tribulation that God was using in order to conform them to the image of His Son. Most of us, if not every one of us, has heard the story of Job. The devil goes before God and he stands before God, and God says to them, there's nothing on the devil's part to start the conversation, but God says, "Have you considered my servant Job? And the devil says, well, you know, your servant Job glorifies you only because you give him everything that you want to give him. He is so blessed. He's rich. He has great health. He says, if you take away everything that he has, he will curse you. God says, okay, do whatever you want. Just don't touch Job. He takes away Job's kids. He takes away Job's career, everything that he has, his camels, all that he owns. Job doesn't curse him. Goes up before God and he says, well, the only reason why he doesn't curse you, God, is because you protect his life. He says, okay, you can touch his life, you just can't kill him. So the devil comes along and he gives Job every problem, health problem that he possibly could, to the point that his friends say, you know why you have these problems, Job? Because you're a sinner. His wife says, just curse God and die. He had to have been pretty bad. Job wouldn't curse God and die. Job 23, verse 10. But he knows, speaking of God, Job speaking of God here, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Look again at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The NASB says, proof of your faith. ESV says, the tested genuineness of your faith. The testing of our faith is to prove the genuineness of our faith. You have to love Peter's illustration of the gold in comparison to our faith. One who smelts gold does so by using extreme heat. In order to get the purest of gold without infirmities, you must burn out the impurities. Peter is saying that God uses trials in our lives to bring about the purest of our faith. I do not know of anyone who enjoys going through trials. They're not pleasant, but I have heard many who have said, although I would not want to presently go through those trials again, I am so blessed that God has chose to use those trials to bring me to where I am today. Acts 5, 40 through 42, Peter and the other apostles are standing before the Jews in trial for preaching the name of Jesus Christ. And it says this, and they agreed with him. And what was happening was the chief priest, the high priest, says, hey, we can't fight against God. If this is of God, we can't fight against God. And God's going to do what he wants to do. But if this isn't of God, God's going to wipe it out. Don't worry about it. And they agreed with him, the rest of the people with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Philippians 4, 8 through 10. This is Paul. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, if bringing me closer to Christ or bringing me closer to the likeness of Christ, bring the suffering. If that's what God chooses to do, so be it. Peter and Paul understood that the more they went through for Christ, the more they became like him. Through the Bible, the writers constantly use Jesus as an example of how they are to live. Here is what Warren Wiersbe said in regards to the smelting of gold. No goldsmith would deliberately waste the precious ore. He would put it into the smelting furnace long enough to remove the cheap impurities. Then he would pour it out and make from it a beautiful article of value. It has been said that the Eastern goldsmith kept the metal in the furnace until he could see his face reflected in it. So our Lord keeps us in the furnace of suffering until we reflect the glory and the beauty of Jesus Christ. What is life all about? Life is about living for God, no matter what the condition of our life is, to His praise and His glory. Do you know that Peter uses the word glory 11 times in this epistle? I found one time that it talks about in reference to us, but 10 times in reference to God. God created man to worship Him. And in Ephesians chapter 1, we saw that in verses 6, 12, and 14, that God did all things to the praise of His glory. The Old Testament, God says, I'll give my glory to no one else. Listen to what Peter says later in chapter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability that God has supplied, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. In that verse, he talks about the glory twice. Whatever we do, if we speak, let us speak the oracles of God. If we minister, let us do it with the ability that God has given us, so that in all things God may be glorified at Christ's revelation. How are we to live this way in the midst of trials and tribulations? We are to stop focusing on the present only, and to start focusing on the present with the future in mind. Isn't this what Peter said in verse 6? In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the testing of your faith may be found to prove glorious. When we live out our lives in this manner, God is glorified now and at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, in chapter 4, it says that God is going to judge the unsaved world by His children. He will be glorified. Look at verse 8. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. What Peter is saying to these believers is that they have never seen Jesus Christ before or presently. But because you believe in Jesus Christ, even though you haven't seen Him, that's the definition of faith. You haven't seen Him, but because you believe, it is proof because of your inexpressible joy. The way that you live, your focus. There are so many times that I find myself complaining about the most ridiculous things. Have you ever done that? I've mentioned that I worked with a guy named Jim in school, and he was a quadriplegic. He became a quadriplegic at the age of 19 years old. And as I built my relationship and friendship with him, I really came to appreciate the things that I've taken for granted. His favorite book was this book, 1 Peter. The reason why his favorite book was this book was because he himself has been through a lot of trials and a lot of tribulations. But one thing that I can say about Jim is I don't recall one time him ever complaining about anything. He couldn't feel anything. I mentioned before he looked forward to when everything's said and done, he's in heaven and he's going to be able to feel a hug because he can't feel a hug. And the first person he's going to be able to hug is his Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that if it weren't for this trial and tribulation, he wouldn't be where he is today with Jesus Christ. Jim is one of the greatest men I have ever had the privilege to know. And he's an encouragement to me to live life to the fullest for Christ. To be able to look in the past and say, God uses all things to bring me to where He wants me to be. And just accept it. If we lack wisdom, ask God who gives liberally. And He will show us what it is that He's doing through these trials. You know, Sonny, the pastor of CFC, once said that he experienced an older lady who always would stand up during sharing time and she would say, "Oh Lord," and she would complain about a whole series of things. Finally, after a period of time, she got up to do the same thing, and this older gentleman, which is the only one that could have got away with this, stood up and said, Lord, either restore to her the joy of her salvation or take her home. And Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Many times our focus is on the present, but God wants us to focus on the present with the future in view. Look at verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter brings this to a full circle. When it is all said and done, when we truly have placed our faith in the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, we will enter into our new home in heaven apart from sin and death. There are a couple things that I really like that Paul said. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 13 through 15. If we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is life all about? What are we living for? Are we living for ourselves, or are we living for the purpose of glorifying God? Peter is writing to a group of persecuted Christians and gives them and us instructions on how to live in every area of life with the purpose of glorifying God, no matter what our current situation is. Let us focus on the present with the future in mind. Let us live every day for His glory.